our current ordinance and then fit in, for the most part, I would say Todd and I, I'm going to just say Todd though, and most of it is replacing concept plans with preliminary plans, anywhere where it says the council to approve, planning, what we do say is whoever we do as a land use authority, which is our planning commission. A city staff that's not the planning commission, as a, since we have kind of a light agenda, gave everybody a paper of like the three-step process. And I think we should read through the subdivision ordinance and, starting with step one, make all those changes required. I put a couple, if anybody's interested, I got two of these
panels. So I think there's not a ton.
So if we take a look at step one, one of the things we update, we designate a land use authority. If we've already done that, that's the planning commission. And then we designate someone to be the final review, that's not the council or the planning commission, which we have not yet done. I wish that was kind of more of a last step. What other cities have done is they've just made the, ideally, if someone comes forward with us with an application that we have created and they've checked every single box on that application, there's nothing whatsoever we can say to deny them for that subdivision. Guys, you guys make sure that all the steps are completed, pipe instead of whatever other PVC pipe for the wall. They don't have to abide by, but you can't push back four times. After the fourth, no more changes, it moves forward. I really have to narrow down this application. But that's like step
so. In theory, that last person, just looking at what our current staff is, would likely be your position. Not necessarily you, but just your position.
It says the mayor has to sign off on it after you approve it.
Yeah, so I don't think he can.
I would say for just availability purposes, someone that's on staff in the office every day.
Exactly.
Just with what our staff is, I think your position makes sense.
And it does say that
as
the mayor...
As zoning administrator, whatever, because down the road they may split your position up into that, you know.
Yeah.
Just as zoning administrator, whoever holds that title.
Mandatory position, so there should be signs
that approves it.
Not required to do a public hearing, but we have the choice that we could.
The person submitting has the choice. We can't
don't
require
have
it. No.
Really?
That's
yeah.
Not what your things and so opinions. Hold the public hearing. Please consider what the hearing adds to this administrative fact-based process. So it doesn't say that. That says the.
Oh, you're correct. We can have a public hearing.
The Planning Commission can review in a public meeting or a public hearing.
Me saying I don't want the subdivision next to me, and I'm just voicing my opinion, but I can say. I know for a fact there is not the water capacity to have this subdivision next to me.
Correct. Because if we think about a public hearing, it's your public comment to or against. But if they complete this application, all the items we put in that application, you can't say no. So there's really no reason to have that public hearing.
Well, except for what Steph just said, that, you know, maybe the owners know that there is not sewer capacity, there is a higher water table that would preclude basements.
If not sewer capacity, then they can't have the subdivision.
But
bring those up, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as we put that
in
application.
And it's fit to it in the inverse as well of letting the community know what is on our table kind of thing.
I think we should change it to a plug-up.
Information.
And that.
I got the case then just attending our meetings could be the, like putting their what they say on separate record like a public hearing would be. So I guess it could just be a in that aspect you could say you scratch it, they should attend our meetings.
Yeah. And the new public meeting I have to notify people that are specifically
adjacent.
Not adjacent. You don't have to notify adjacent anymore. Unless they have submitted in writing within that fiscal year that they want to know if something's happening somewhere. But kind of pointless, unless in our city code we say, like right now, oh, that's a very
we're not weighing their opinion, or can't, type of thing. We can't weigh their opinion. I always envisioned and wanted a public hearing to be for making a decision on something to be done in town. I don't want to be making a decision just as us at the table, we're going to be representing the public. But if in a situation of a subdivision, we can't just take their shape. If we allow that and they come in this room and say we don't want that, and then we say, sorry, we have to approve it anyway, we kind of like assholes. Don't put that on.
residential, or to residential houses, applies to subdivisions for one or two family dwellings, and town with duplexes, or a town home. Or
you wouldn't want to do that. But to your point, we should have something for agriculture, for industrial. I'm going to write that down. We should look at those, and because we only have to change this to do residential, but we can keep our current subdivision ordinance for commercial, industrial, etc., to go before the council, or how we currently have it.
Number one, upset one.
Kind of.
Did you have more questions on that?
No, but I was hoping we could dig through the actual ordinance and read our current ordinance and find those changes that need to be. That's why I said it's a light agenda.
No public hearing. The zoning administrator is going to be the staff, the final decision. Where is that at?
The administrator.
Final review will be the zoning administrator position.
Yeah, land use will just use as planning commission. I don't know how you feel, but we are just in a discussion, so if anybody wants input.
I've got a quick question. What is the purpose of the public hearing?
I mean, prior to what we're talking about this, I've always viewed it as, public's opinion. And being able to weigh that in the decision. I think in some standard what this is saying, people could bring up factual things. They could say, this isn't possible because of this. And we could be like, oh yeah. But in my opinion of wanting them, and that's why we switch things around to have them, because prior to how we have it set up now, we were voting on a agenda item, then it went to public hearing before council, and then council either agreed or disagreed with what our recommendation was. So it was omitting that public hearing prior to us voting on something, and we pushed it now to where we have public hearing prior to us voting, which was important to me of just getting public input. Like, I don't want to sit at this table and make decisions now. Just based on our five opinions here, being able to hear that across our table, and if you have, like I said, 50 people in here strongly disagreeing with it, I, at least in my opinion, would weigh that into my decision. But with this, they're saying you can't take opinion, you can only take factual evidence to approve or deny that subdivision.
Is part of doing a subdivision next to me, and that may affect me somehow, that I'm notified so I can state my case that, hey, it's going to vote or, you know, something.
In the traditional, yes. So what David's saying now with this, he's not required to notify you as an adjacent landowner. Yeah, no, so that's what
unless happens. We put that in our application. That the
public hearing, just having them come to our meeting, and as we're discussing it, as the review of it, then they can whatever say. See, our road, there's not easement, there's not, they could point out something because someone's filling out this application. I mean, I could say, yes, I have water, yes, I have sewer, yes, I have a road, yes, I have an easement, and then it's left for whoever is, us to look into this. I don't know if someone's building behind land, and he's like, yes, I have an easement, they're in the land, he's like, no, he doesn't.
Right.
So things like that could definitely come up, and I think, notifying, at least having that in and Jason gets notified, and then they have a little more of a heads up to attend the meeting.
And I don't want to live in Moab, but I see them posted, like, when you're driving by, we're notifying the public, we're going to have a meeting about this subdivision, so if you have something to say, you need to come, for whatever reason.
Yeah, and that's something we can put in. You said no or yes to that?
Well, I just see that's how they do it. I don't want to live in Moab, but I'm...
Okay, that's why I was confused.
I'm in Moab, but...
So I think it should be... Should be the adjacent landowner should be notified, but that notification should probably say about only factual-based objections will be entertained.
It could say that, because that's what it is.
Yeah, like, don't yeah. know just because you want to say no. You have to kind of have evidence of why this is.
We have, like we talked about, two things for application, but they're actually all one.
And they will just be notified to attend the meeting.
Gotcha.
For the review.
To what you said, that's actually a requirement in some of the notification, but because we are less than 5,000 population,
okay.
we don't. In fact, I only have to notify in one location, commonly used, which are out of town.
At times.
Sometimes it's just here, the post office, and online. Sometimes it's a library here, post office, Chowhound. Because of our population size, our notifications are much less.
I mean, general public, I've always argued if you want to be involved, you know where to find these. You can find them at City Hall if you want to see what's on it, the adjacent landowners, because some could be, you know, not living in town, whatever, and they may have a reason to improve a situation on making it work.
The three bulls that are in the pasture next to them, that fence.
Two of one, remove any mandates for the concept plan review. So that's just flat out, right?
Part of preliminary, but yeah, it's not. Yeah. You guys interested in this? Will it work? Yes or no? Move on. And then it goes to the final, where they have to do the nitty-gritty of, like, all the...
I mean, it's just self-presenting preliminary, then self-present final application. So David and I kind of talked about this. He brought up having city council kind of in on the work session of the application. I suggested David kind of come up with some precedents of it. He did find one from Lehigh that he said is pretty extensive, because it is Lehigh, so much bigger than I assume. But I think if he has a couple of examples, I suggested skipping it this meeting if he was done working meeting with city council to come up with what all is on that application, because like he says, if they pass everything on that application, then it's essentially good to go. So making sure we get everything we want to be part of that as part of that.
Yeah, and kind of why I'm kind of passing it before we have a workshop meeting is, although we can approve this ordinance and what gets put on the application, we're going to take your suggestion, which whatever application we create, and then they're going to want to change it, maybe not. So we might as well all just have a work session. Everybody comes in, we make one application and work through it.
I think if you can find a couple that exist and send those out so people can review, yes, I like this, no, I do not like this, or whatever, and then like go a little faster than if we're kind of going over them. In there, but
see which other cities in the county have already implemented this.
The big cities where it had to do it by January 1st, we have to do it by December 1st.
December 1st.
There are cities just for
of 5,000 or bigger in this county, right?
I think.
In Emory?
I would think Castle Dell is 5,000, isn't it?
I know Castle Dell just finished theirs, but I don't think they've added it. Well, maybe. It's been 2 months. They might have one now.
So,
I didn't check with them.
So that would be one that I would get a copy of and see.
Something like this one was in Lehigh. I mean, Lehigh's like subdivided right now, so they're probably pretty, way more detailed probably than we need to be. Like you said with that, it's pretty extensive.
Kind of the 100, like subdivisions of 100, 30 to 100. Biggest one I've seen here.
How do you define subdivision?
Technically, that's what we would have because we have everything else you can approve without anybody else being involved.
Right now, yeah, I can approve up to 3. We can change that. Other places, because they do have 30 plus, they have their zoning administrator. They have a team of like 5 people.
Yeah.
So it's not just one person. So they have like more people, manpower to look through these. Yeah, they approve up to like 10, 15, 20 before it moves to.
So the other thing would be in the fee schedule, should it be, you know, that's going to be in a significant increase of workload if you have 100 lot subdivision.
Mm-hmm. And after 10, well, at any point during it, I could reach out for an engineer forever. Mm-hmm. Some of them maybe not, but I've been reaching out to an engineer almost every single one I've seen. $100 an hour.
And are those...
Right now, in our code, it says any of the costs. Those engineer things, because it does say any cost occurred is on one subdivision since I've been here. So, that fee had it been moved forward.
And the developer has everything in a row, that expense, that cost is going to be significant. Where should that cost be? Should it be on the system?
Is it on the actual site, or is it off?
I don't think that it would be for anything that is affected by the sewer lines running to the subdivision, have to assess sewer capacity running from the, have to assess road capacity under that.
To me, it depends on if it's on the site or off. Say I'm going to do a development right over and do all of my water lines and pay for all of my stuff. Mm-hmm. So should I have to pay for everyone's upgraded water line? I don't know. I mean, I don't know how.
Well, so it would be the engineering study for that. So you wouldn't, I agree, you wouldn't have to pay, well, I mean, that would be based upon the engineering study is what upgrades are needed, then the city council would have to decide whose expense that is. I mean,
think you're extending water or sewer, it's already at cost of the developer. They have to pay for that engineering. And also, well, I'm going to get a little muddy here. When it comes to a storm drain study, curb gutter sidewalk, or that's at cost of the city. The city has to pay for that.
Within the development? Or just...
In the development, I guess. Yes. But, here's where I would say I'm going to get muddy. If we're looking at, say, someone brings in their engineered plan, and we need our engineer to ensure that they are good, those fees, I feel, should be applied to the developer. That makes sense? Like the cost, because if it took me 15 hours to review your cost of the city, so there should be a fee. If I had to hire an engineer team, that I should also have that in the fee schedule.
So that should be internal to the development and external.
What determines you hiring an engineer or not? Because if I pay for my own engineer to make the plan, then you come back and say, our engineer is going to look at them and that cost is on you, I'm going to tell you, no.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because you can't review my plan. I mean, that's like...
But that's why we just throw in a fee schedule and charge dollars if, you know.
It needs to be like across the board. It can't be your discretion that I'm going to have the engineer review Kim's plans. The engineer's not going to review my plans.
Lehigh does it. Use their plan, they look at it, and then they determine how much your fee's going to be, and then they do it either way.
Just an extensive discussion of the fee schedule needs to occur.
I will say I have found it interesting on some of the things that we do here at the city. One of them is a zoning change. We know how many we've done. Anybody can come in and say they want a zoning change, and then I have to mail out a notice. One time it cost the city, it's a lot of money, but it cost the city over $70 just in letters to be sent out. It's 65 cents a piece right now. So I had to send out that notice because someone wanted a zone change. I paid them $70 just by sending out. Because somebody just decided they wanted to petition you guys to review a zoning change for.
So that probably ought to be part of a bigger discussion.
Should. It took me 6 months to create one. The one that we have. So, no, it took me 2 years to get it. 6 months to get it approved. So, we didn't have one for...
As part of this discussion, the fees associated with the development and things that the developer knows going into it.
If I were to submit to you engineered plans, so are you going to, could you assume those are correct by that, or would, in your opinion, would you always send them to a city engineer to verify? Or if I have my third-party engineer versus someone else just kind of sketches theirs up in CAD, and you say, these don't look like they're engineers, so I'm going to send them to our engineer. RFP for that, because to me it's like you're, if you're just using your discretion, like I said, you're potentially doubling up, because I'm paying my third-party engineer and you're saying, well, I'm going to send a Star City engineer anyway, then I should have just went back and just drove myself in CAD.
Yeah, you have a point. So I've not used the engineer, I should correct myself, I haven't used the engineer for a subdivision. I've used them for that their detention pond was to the correct specification. So, yeah, I haven't used him for that yet, for a subdivision per se, but that's the only thing I've really
used. And that could be a bigger city council question, how, what route they want to go on that, because if you could say, if you pay to have your third-party engineer, it's less of a fear, whatever, however you attach that. If you don't pay to have your third-party engineer, city engineer is going to review them and you will receive an invoice for that.
Okay, why go to a third-party, just go to the city engineer?
But a review is significantly less than developing the plan. They just have to look at it and say, yes, this looks like it, this can is consistent with the city.
And then it should be spelled out that every subdivision that's coming through is going to have a fee because of that, rather than kind of at discretion, because then I would.
So to me, if I have an engineer design a subdivision and he puts his...
He's looked up those things.
He's in trouble if it doesn't work. Of course, a lot of times that'll go to court. But so maybe the city engineer would review it, but you don't get a fight here with... Because they both have a stamp. I mean, that stamp means that it's good to go. And if it's not, they're in trouble. If that makes sense. For instance, when we build a firehouse, Jones and DeMille wants us to engineer the footings, which was weird. So we hire an engineer, she designed the footings, and then wants to review them, and then they're like this. And we're like, wait a minute, she has the stamp. As far as we're concerned, she's good to go. We're not going to get into this because there are ways to do something. So.
Anyways, we'll throw that on city council and they can sort that out.
Because I don't disagree with you, but I think that the city needs to make sure that it complies with their plan, and our zoning...
Paid for by an engineer. The engineer will look up city codes. They'll contact the city for water line size. That's what I'm paying for in an engineer, is for them to do all that and stamp that they have done those sizings correctly. If the city council decides that, yeah, city engineer, we want our city engineer that's representing us to review all of them, that's fine, but I think that should be across the board. They're going to review all of them and then...
Correct. I think it should be consistent.
And not kind of go back and forth. Or they can say, if you have this third-party engineered by, you know, an actual stamp registered engineer, then you don't have to pay the fee. They could go either way. If you're stamped that and it ends up that something is wrong with it, they're the ones liable. We can make it one of those things that are more of a involved city council discussion, or the mayor, or basically, I mean, in a nutshell, fees and application is going to be city council input on that. Okay, up to kind of specific changes made within each one, right?
Yeah, so they are putting a timetable on a lot. I went to two conferences receiving application. I can't remember if we can put it like a, we can say 30 days and we have to be held to 30 days, or if we're being held to 15 and 20 days. That I don't really remember. We have to set a day of how long it's going to take to review these, and they have to be done with that time frame.
I would say 30 at 30.
Because
that gives us kind of regular meeting time. If someone submitted an application today, you assume that gives us 30 days to our next meeting.
Seeing something because of small cities.
And I guess it has to be, and we just have to work around that. But if this is just in there and we can have our own, I would say 30 days gives us the full grace period of a month that we, with our worst case scenario.
Okay.
30 days for the preliminary plat, 30 days for the final plat review.
Okay. We'll get 30 of them in 30 days. But
if you do, the fee structure is going to hire some help.
Then I will be calling the engineer.
Okay, and then the other stuff's just set. The maximum four reviews, that's set.
So this is the engineering standards have to be adopted by a public at the planning commission.
Codified engineering standards, that's our code.
Yeah. Codified, yes.
And then final adoption by the...
It's a public meeting for subdivisions going forward, but this still needs to have a public hearing to have codified. That's in our code, but I can double check that.
Yeah. Standard building codes.
We have those codes adopted, so I'm pretty sure we're safe. I don't know why I didn't count on it, but...
So, I mean, the question was, would be right now, do we need to update those to the current...
What is the rules on when you can update to the more current building code?
Every 3 years, they get a new building code or fire code or whatever. We're actually 2007.
How often is that updated? The building
fairly.
It should be on the contractor's desk.
To me, to some of this may be like their fire hydrant that they want to use in the city. Maybe Ryan has a, well, what fire hydrant do you want to use? Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And if a standard lay of water line's laid, you know, even... Well, I called Brian and said, hey, does this work for you? And he said, yeah.
Yeah.
Depth of the line, or?
Yeah, depth of the line.
Just what, if that is talking about a building code, or just exactly if we need to check any boxes off, or if we're just going to go with what we have.
And then we need to update ours.
I'll go too far, but that's where I get kind of confused, because we have a 2000, I don't know what year, let's just say it's 2000.
So we should clarify what year we're using.
Yeah. But since we don't have a building authority, we use Emory County. They go off of like whatever code, but we have an older code.
The code is likely always going to get more stringent. So I've always designed the whatever code book I have, building code book I have. I just make sure that is newer than what the city is always going to most likely always be covered. If it is a newer code that you're working off of than what is required. But happened in that time, so...
I can find it real quick.
That's okay. But just clarify that. Because it's called engineering standards, so just making sure we're talking about the same thing there. And that we already have that.
It's just us adopting this ordinance. The city, somewhere in here we have the adopting ordinance. We have to change that. I think we should at least adopt what our building authority at Emory County, whatever code they're using.
They're the ones reviewing building permits and such. So.
And yeah.
Who would I complain to about sure?
Brian Meadows.
What?
Brian Meadows.
If you come in into tomorrow, but if you come into the office, we can help you get it.
I'm like, sure. I live on North Green River. Half a block, I guess, to your pipes. Mm-hmm. But it runs across a new line in from my house to your line. Trouble ever since. It's, we don't use toilet paper in it.
I'll have to take a look specifically at your situation, because that seems kind of odd.
Yeah.
Charter. Upton. 450. You and my grandma were good friends, but I can't remember your name. Your face. But.
Yeah, your sister here about a month ago. She's kind of something.
There's two. Bond new for private landscaping.
Yeah. That's weird.
Well, no, I think larger cities for developments would require that they bond to make sure that the developer...
Yeah, I guess so.
And...
I mean, I'm more than that, they're virtual eye camps.
Yeah, that kind
sure
of...
They didn't follow anything.
No, you're right. Which, by the way, I found the day they put you on planning and zoning, they actually rezoned that. How they got away with what they...
I sure was my first loss, because I fought against it.
This landscaping... include the sidewalks or no?
In just making a subdivision, because you could.
I guess
you could make a subdivision. You could build houses. You could sell off all those houses, and then you have enough to do.
Go here. Don't use a bunch of water to try to grow it. My philosophy on that.
Don't be the Cotton cul-de-sac and put a bunch of sprinkler systems in and then don't drain. So number 3 of 3, new road standards.
Yeah, so this one's interesting. So we don't have to, we can require the roads to be caveat to We don't have, they require them to pave the road more than 32 feet, but the road can be bigger. That's the, I don't know if we have time to read 1,100 lines of it.
You should be able to go to 10-90.
Pavement right there. Does not apply if it requires pavement in excess of 32 feet?
Yeah, so just the installation of pavement. But I believe the road can, the road can, they don't have to put in more than 32 feet of the road.
Well, if it's in a vehicle turnaround area, a cul-de-sac, traffic flow constraints at an intersection, mid-block crossing to address applicable general or mass flow, traffic flow constraints, settlements or uses to generate higher traffic volume.
Saying you have to pay if these are the case?
Yep. Yeah. So currently our code says they don't have to pay more than 32 feet of that. So they can, they're on both. Weird.
Unless we say that it needs to conform.
Our streets are required to be 48 right now. Mm-hmm. This is saying this list of things is applicable.
Mm-hmm.
Actually really wide though, compared to like,
yeah,
anywhere like suburban Salt Lake area, like at my mom's house, I'm like, God, that's it's really tight.
Terrible.
Well, it's really bad going down the side. If they have the cars on one side and the trailer on the other side, it's only a single car. It's a car and a trailer. Well, it's a car in the middle. That's how wide it is.
27 feet maybe?
So,
up on the way.
With our 48 feet, we include 5 feet for curb gutter and sidewalk within that roadway. So you're technically 38 feet wide. 48 feet of row. Minus curb gutter and sidewalk, they're going to be at 38, so we're 6 feet short. I don't know if we want to change that, but we can't, unless, yeah, they meet something here.
So is there anything we can't change, or is that set?
That's state law.
That's so state law. We can't change that.
That supersedes.
Okay, so no discussion.
Yeah,
we're set on that.
Well, I'm saying we can decide if we say instead of 48 feet.
Oh, wait, set a higher standard is what you're saying. We can say they had to pave all 48 feet, right? Or no?
No. Change our street requirement.
Oh, so our street requirement should be less. Could be less.
Could be. Doesn't need to be. I don't know how you guys feel.
So it does say off-street parking. It can be one of the things, one of the reasons.
Is our street size in this, or is our street size something separate we can talk about later?
Street size is separate.
Okay, we'll talk about it later.
Well, but it is part of the new road standards.
No, because we have to adopt what the state did. Our street size is separate.
But in that ordinance, it says that you can street parking can be one of the reasons that
I'm not saying one of the reasons.
32 feet.
But yeah, we have to adopt that. What he's saying is we can review and make our street size smaller if we ever wanted to do that. Totally separate thought. And then we have to accept. So I'm saying we could review the street size down the road if that is something we want to talk about.
Oh, no.
Step 3, because we said step 3. Step 4. Add the new appeal process has to be in, right?
Step 4.
I made a step 4.
On the paper?
Keep going. Yeah, keep going. I said step 4. Okay. We already went through step 3.
Yeah, that's why I was like, step 4? There's no step 4.
I renumbered it.
There's double step 3.
I panicked because maybe I thought I did something wrong.
So this is just step, correct? Like, this is their standard? Here we have any, so
but
we
that's the 20 days, but then you need to have, you know, if you change the date,
not
you have
too
to have
certain
the
on the time frame.
If the appeals, if the review cycles have been exhausted and 20 days have passed, then you need to, that's part of the thing is that they're trying to push this, speed this process up, the approval process.
So you assemble a 3-person meeting, is there any designate anybody on who that 3-person panel will be, or do you just phone call 3 people that come in City Hall in a day and sorry, you're selected?
I can't be very nice.
I you were selected that night.
I'll put up with y'all that way.
Ding, ding, ding.
There's your 3 on number 2.
That's your panel of experts. Mm-hmm. That's your expert witnesses at your jury trial.
So is this your appeal authority? What's that?
Board of Adjustments.
Board of Adjustments.
I just assumed they would go there anyway.
I would imagine, yeah, if it's not designated who those people could be, I would imagine you could pull from those pool of people to get a 3-person panel.
Does your
of adjustment, three people, or is it?
Well, right now it's three
people.
It should
be five.
It should be five.
Any three people from the Board of Adjustments?
Land use appeal authority. I'll look into that. I didn't even really read that because, well, I read it 3-4 months ago, but I just assumed we would use our appeal authority. I don't know why they're making it. But when I read the state code. There wasn't this awesome, easy checklist. So I read through 1,100 lines of Utah law. And if you give me that time back. I wear my headphones very often, but I wore them for a very long time.
Two things going to city, or reviewing with city council, application and fees. Specific questions on just the timeline for final reviews that you will clarify into that. Either changed or added in. Finding another precedent for application, preferably a smaller city. Clarifying the codified engineering standards, just exactly what we're talking about for those, and whether we already have those set out. And then, yeah, I think everything else.
I want to clarify the six, basically. Yeah, application. I'll do 7 for Charlotte. I'll check with Ryan for should be just for commercial, industrial, agriculture, or all other zones, we'll call it. We'll just keep our same stuff.
Like, they would, plus they get a conditional use to put residential in those.
Yeah.
And then tie them to follow subdivision within that residential, so then we just kind of deflecting back to this anyway?
Well, I don't know, because commercial, if you're in commercial, you have, yeah, I guess it would still follow.
We're just kind of
follow.
Looping back around to this. Any other discussion on the wonderful Senate Bill 174?
To that point, though, I don't know why.
Should be approving residential and commercial zones anymore.
I remember what I was going to say, though. It would be to subdivide that way in commercial mind. I had people come forward with container homes. So, public information.
I think, to me, it's a structure typology. They follow the building code with it. It's the same as using lumber. It's a center. You have to follow still
frames. Frames.
Yeah, it's just you
wood frame.
So follow the rest of the building code standard, you're just using that as your core structure.
Okay. Yeah, I felt like the shock factor was kind of gone about it, but anyway. Just
ecology in a landlocked state, but you know, you do you. If you want to.
5 lots already. So
they're just using that as their,
okay,
their structure of a,
yeah,
house.
So it's 5 individual.
Yeah, it's 5 individual lots.
Yeah,
so
doesn't that
problem against them, but yeah. Let's get over it.
Number 2, discuss approve and deny consent agenda. That's the regular meeting minutes from March 19th and the regular meeting minutes from May 21st. I don't see any problems with them.
Move to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
Second from Glenna.
Alright.
Have we heard anything more about the...
I guess I should mention Tyler's last day is Friday.
Doesn't have to keep going. Okay, that motion to adjourn.
Adjourn.
Nobody.
Yeah, so I haven't heard anything about the port, Inland Port. For
the 24th or something was the final review or something.
Yeah. I know the commissioners are not happy about the tax.